Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is Perek Hey of the Book of Yechezkel. And this is a continuation of Perek Dalet. It is another nevuah. It's another symbolic representation. It's another representation in symbols of the messages that Hashem is trying to send. And again, it'll be the difference of whether you think that it's happening, Yechezkel is actually doing it, or you think it's all in a vision. The Redaktion is all in a vision. Rashi does not indicate that. So the parak begins, V'ata ben adam kach lecha cherev chada, take a very sharp sword. Rashi says, the siman lecherev Nebuchadnezzar, it's a metaphor, a symbol of the sword of Nebuchadnezzar. And it says, ta'ar ha'galavim tikachen alach. So use it as the English has it, a barber's razor, right? And that's Rashi reports in the name of Menachem. Rashi himself thought it was Tahar Ratz Anim, or making, I think, Ritzuot to like leather tanners. Tahar Galavim would be that. V'havarta al roshcha v'al zikanecha. You're going to pass it over your head and your beard. V'lakach delcha moznim mishkal v'chilaktam. You're going to, in other words, cut off all your hair, shave off your hair and your beard, and, or cut your hair and the beard. I don't know if you're going to shave it completely, but then you're going to cut off much of your hair and beard, and you're going to take a scales in order to divide them into three parts. Okay, so he's going to pass it off, either shave all of his hair or much of his hair, but he's going to shave off the hair of his head and his beard, and he's going to split it into three parts. Shlishit ba'ur tavir b'toch ha'ir. A third of it you're going to burn. Now b'toch ha'ir, you got to remember, he's made this brick to be the symbol of Yerushalayim, so it'll be there somewhere. And Rashi thinks that the symbolism is that a third of the people will die in famine, and that famine burns like a fire, because we have a pasuk in Eicha that says, "Orinu katanu nechmaru," our skin burned like in an oven or like in a furnace because of the hunger. So that'll be a third. Kimlot yimei hamatzor, and you're going to do this at the end of the siege. So this will be a symbol of what will happen during the siege. They'll all die, or a third of them will have died. You'll strike with the sword around the city. So Rashi understands this to mean that what will happen is that people will run away, redacting specifically Tzidkiyahu and his people, but this is talking about a third of the populace. So Rashi thinks that during the course of the siege, people will be trying to run away, and they will be caught by the Babylonians and put to death by the sword. And a third of the hair, so the hair is symbolizing the Jewish people, as a third of the hair you will spread to the wind, a symbol for the exile, and there will be a sword following them. In other words, Yechezkel is being told to prophesy that at the end of this whole siege, which will end up in the destruction of the city, this is what will have happened. A third will have died in trying to run away, a third will die in the city in the siege, and a third will be left a remnant. Pasuk Gimel, v'lakachta misham me'at b'mispar v'tzarta otam b'chnafecha. And you take a few of them, and you tie them up. So b'chnafecha could theoretically mean in your wings, but this has it in your skirt, meaning you'll have it something close to you. And you're gonna umehem otikach v'ishlacht otam otocha eish. And then you'll take some more of these people, meaning the Radak thinks that these people are to be symbolized, the ones that go to Bavel. Meaning Rashi had said, to the Golim, to Egypt. And those are the ones who there'll be a sword will follow them. And Radak had said also, to Egypt with Yochanan and Kereach at the end of that thing. So now you've got a very few. It's not a third who are going to make it into Bavel. It's going to be a very few remnants are going to make it to Bavel. They're going to be the group that go to Bavel. And even from those group, they're also going to get burned in the fire where they are, where they get there. Pasuk. Hey, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, Zot Yerushalayim, Petucha Goyim Samtia Usvivoteha Aratzot. Now notice there's a parasha Petucha after the end of Pasuk Dalet. So this is in some way a new topic, but it's not quite a new topic. So he's had this symbolism, and now it's going to be some of the explanation of the symbolism. The symbolism, either the act or the vision, has been of a terrible, terrible destruction, meaning the percentages of survivors are going to be tiny. And one of the things that happens when Hashem punishes the Jewish people and you have a tiny percentage of survivors, then you end up having a lot of questions about what happened. And Hashem now is going to speak about what it is that has been going on here. So, Komar Hashem Zot Yerushalayim B'toch HaGoyim Samtia U'Svivoteha Aratzot. So Hashem says, this is Yerushalayim, I put her among the nations and around her various lands. The Radak thinks that this is an expression of the greatness of Yerushalayim, that if it's in the middle of all the lands, then that means that it's going to be special among them. It's in the middle, and that means its air is better, and its weather is better, and all things are better, and the Jewish people corrupted it and ruined it. That's going to be Pasuk Vav, Vatemer et Mishpatai Lirisham min ha-goyim, Vechukotai min ha-aratzor ha-shasivoteha, Ki Mishpatai ma'asu, Vechukotai lo halchu bahem. And then they do evil, and they rebel against God's rules to be more wicked than all the nations around them, and all of my laws more than the other nations that are around her, because they were disgusted by, or they rejected my laws and my chukim, they didn't follow them. So the Radak points out that when it says that they did worse than the nations around them, what it means is that other nations don't reject their own legal system. Right, they have a legal system, and then they follow the legal system, and yet the Jews have rebelled against the legal system. Right? I mean, if you look in Rashi, Rashi would seem to understand the pasuk just as meaning that they did worse than the nations around them, and you could imagine the Jews being so corrupted that they're even worse than the nations around them. But the Radak says that what makes them worse is the fact that they rejected their own legal system, and that's what's going on. If you look in the Psikta Rabbati, so the Psikta Rabbati sees this pasuk as part of the Malachim, as part of the angels' complaints to Hashem when Yerushalayim gets destroyed. It's a long dialogue they have there, but basically the Medrash portrays the angels as complaining, as saying that Hashem should have compassion and should have good feelings for Yerushalayim, and Hashem says, I have no room to because of all the things that they've done wrong there. So they start off in that complaint. And one of the stages in that complaint is to say, look at this. This is Zot Yerushalayim. This is Yerushalayim B'toch HaGoyim Samtia that I placed among the nations. So it's a hard claim by the angels, because the next psukim are telling you that they ruined it. The Ramban also has an interesting comment along the same lines. He says, he has a Medrash that points out in Vayikra Rabbah, that points out that there are a few things in Tanakh that are referred to as the word Zot. And the Medrash connects that to where the Torah says, "Bizot yavo Aron al Kodesh," that when Aaron is told on Yom Kippur, he can go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, into the very inner sanctum of the Beit HaMikdash, and he can provide kapar there for the entire Jewish people. So the Medrash connects that to other things that have been called Zot. And it says, it's not just that he walked in, it's that he walked in with lots of mitzvot, lots of merits in hand. And so one of those is the existence of Yerushalayim, because it says Zot Yerushalayim. And there are other examples there as well. It's a Ramban in Vayikra. On the pasuk bezot yavo Aron al kodesh, so the statement zot Yerushalayim is not just, you know, I did good to Yerushalayim. It's that Yerushalayim was meant to be a model city. And in pasuk vav, we rejected all that. Pasuk zayin lachen koamar Hashem lokim yan hamanchem min agoyim asher sivivotechem v'chukotei lo halachtem v'shnei lo asitem uch mishpatei agoyim asher sivivotechem lo asitem. So because you've been worse, right? Lachain, because you've been worse. Hamanchem min agoyim asher sivivotechem. You're even worse than the nations around you by not following Hashem's laws, not keeping to the mishpatim, and not following. Now, so the English here says is that you didn't follow even the laws of the nations around you. That would be more similar to Rashi, right? The Radak doesn't quite see it that way. The Radak also says that the Ya'an or the Lachain is. Lachain and Ya'an is a function of that. Hashem is saying that it's because I made you better than the other nations, and I gave you better than the nations, you were so good and enjoying yourself so much, like Vayishman Yishuv Vayivat, the pasuk in the Torah that says that when the Jews get comfortable and metaphorically fat, that's when they rebel against God. They don't listen to God in those situations. So that is where they get into trouble. So that's the way the Radak understands the pasuk. Not necessarily that we're worse than the other nations, but that our doing these things was worse than the other nations. So pasuk chet, lachein komar Hashem lokim hineni alayich gam ani V'asiti v'tochech mishpatim le'enei hagoyim. So Hashem says, I'm going to be against you as well, and I'm going to execute judgment on you in front of everybody. And the point of the in front of everybody is, just like the Jews have rejected Hashem in a way that other nations didn't, Hashem is going to punish them in front of them to make sure the lesson is clear that this is an unacceptable way to act. V'asiti v'ach eid asher lo asiti v'et asher lo esach amoho od ya'an kol ta'o avotayich. I'm going to do to you things that have not been done. This is not, that the fate of the Jews is going to be in some way worse than other nations. And this is always the flip side of being the chosen nation, that we're also always the example nation, because when we fail to live up to the standards that Hashem set for us, we get punished on the basis of our higher standards. So because of all the things that we've done, we're going to get a punishment that Hashem will never do again. Pasuk Yud, Lachain, Avot yochlu vanim v'tocheich, vanim lo yochlu avotam, v'asit divach shefatim, v'zeriti et kol she'eriteich l'chol ruach. And therefore, fathers will eat their sons in your midst, and sons will eat their fathers, and I will execute my judgments against you, and then I'm going to scatter all the survivors in every direction. So the Radak first points out that this is the punishment that Hashem is saying is worse than anything you can imagine, and that you can't imagine happening again, is that there will be such a breakdown in humanity, in our ability to hold tight to our human ways of acting, that fathers and sons will eat each other, presumably after they pass away, but it's not clear in the Pesukim. L'chein ch'aninum Hashem Elokim, im lo ya'an et mikdashi timet, v'chol shikutzayir v'chol to'avotayich, v'gam ani egra. So Yan and Migdashi Timet, Bechol Shikutzayach, Bechol Toavotayach, Vegamini Egra, Velo Tachos Eni, Vegamini Loechmo. So because of all the things you've done, you've defiled my Migdash with all of your disgusting abominations and all of your terrible things, and therefore I also will, Egra will take away from you, and I won't have any compassion, and I won't have any mercy. Shelishitech Badevri Yamutu, a third of you are going to die. So here's this Badevri, which is pestilence, so it's not clear what that would be. Earlier in the Pesukim of Arav, Yichlu B'Tochech, and so it's pestilence and famine, so that would be what Rashi thought of as the Eish. V'ashlishit l'chol ruach ezareh, I'm sorry, v'ashlishit b'cherev yivu sivotech, and a third will die by the sword. V'ashlishit l'chol ruach ezareh, v'cherev arik acharehem, like we saw in the symbolism. V'chala api v'anichoti chamati v'am v'hine chamti. So, and then my anger will be finished off, and I will leave my anger in them, and then I will have nechama, I will have respite from this anger. V'yadu k'ni Hashem, and then they will know that I am Hashem. Dibarti b'kinati b'chaloti chameti bam, and I'm speaking in my kinati, jealousy perhaps, but more likely in my pasuk yedalet v'atencha lecharba ulecharpa b'goyim asher sivotayech le'enei kol over. I'm going to make you into a ruin and a mockery among the nations and an embarrassment among all those who pass by. So in Pesukim Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, Hashem is finishing off some of the reason for why the punishment will be so terrible. Right? The fury is not meant to be an expression of an emotion of God's, that God has this emotion towards the Jewish people, that God cares in this way, isn't upset in this way about the Jewish people. It's an expression of the need to take revenge for the standards that have been broken. So Pasuk Tedva, Vayita Cherpa Ugdufa Musar Mishama Lagoyim Asher Sivotayich. It's going to be a mockery and a derision, a warning, a horror. Lagoyim Asher Sivotayich. Vasoti Bach Shvatim Be'afu V'Chema V'Tochol Chema. When I do my justice against you in anger and rage and furious chastisement, as with the English, Ani Hashem Dibarti, I am Hashem who has spoken. When I send the famine against you that are going to destroy you, that I'm going to send them against you to destroy you. So the Radak says, what are the arrows of famine? Just send the famine, not a famine. It says it's all the things that lead to a famine. It's the siege, and it's the illness, and it's the enemy, and all of those things are what are the arrows of famine. The Ra'av will say, you'll have terrible famine, you won't have any more staff of bread, you won't have any more supply of bread. Not only when I send famine, but I send evil animals or wild animals, and they're going to bereave you, right? They'll take away your children, they'll kill people, members of your family, and there will be pestilence and blood among you, and a sword will be against you. Ani Hashem dibarti. I am God who has spoken. So this certainly is not a pleasant perek to read, and it's going to go on this way. Yechezkel is properly known as somebody who, in some parts of his nevuah, prophesies extremely negative, extremely punishing versions of what Hashem can do. But, and in that sense, it's just worth noticing, and it's worth saying that Yechezkel and Hashem is using Yechezkel as a voice to say that this punishment that comes to you, it's because of the things that you've done. And it says straight out like that. I don't want to minimize the terror. I don't want to minimize the sadness of the fact that it's going to happen this way and that this is what's going to be the lot of the Jewish people at this time. But I think in the context of the book that we've seen so far and that we will see, it's interesting to watch this and to know that a subtext that Yechezkel is talking about is that the Jewish people do not really understand why all this is going to be happening to them. And they're going to experience the famine, experience the siege, and they're going to have Nevi'im telling them what the right thing is to do, and they're not going to be able to find their way clear to doing it. So that imbalance and that self-contradiction and that, whatever you want to call it, that oxymoronic behavior, that stubbornness, that anything is at play, I think, in this parakeh. And Hashem is trying to say it as straight out as possible. And yet it doesn't seem to work. So the question, one of the questions that I always wonder in learning the V'im like this is, so what would work? Meaning if you give them good, the Radak already told us that Hashem sort of blames, not blames himself, but sort of says, on Zot Yerushalayim B'tocha Gim Samtia, I gave you all the good, that maybe the good was part of what led you to sin. So the other, another option is to take away the good. But you take away the good, and then they start thinking, well, if the good's taken away, getting taken away, maybe we're supposed to be worshipping other gods. Maybe we're supposed to be doing other things. And they try other strategies to get back into some favor, to get their economy going again, to get this going again, and they get worse and worse and worse, and eventually it gets to the point where they've had years of Naveen telling them they're doing the wrong thing, and yet they continue doing it, and then they're going to get these terrible punishments, and then they're going to say, well, why is God punishing us so much? So this parak, which is really just a stark parak, and it's a short parak, and there's nothing fancy about it, it's very straightforward, which just predicts that a third of Yerushalayim will starve in the siege, a third will be killed trying to flee, and a third will be sent into exile where sword will still chase them then. So that that split and that point, part of the problem with that point is that as it happens, the Jews will not experience it for what it is. They will not experience it as God's wrath, and those who do experience God's wrath will not experience it as just God's wrath. This is something that I think is very modern and happens all the time. I also think, as I'm saying this, it's interesting to note that I believe is the model that was used for what happened in the Spanish expulsion, whether the numbers are exact or not, nobody will ever know, but the model that was used was that a third of the Jews were killed when the Spanish said they were kicking all the Jews out of, in 1492, and around 1492, kicking all Jews out unless they converted to Christianity. I believe the numbers are a third were killed, a third converted to Christianity, and a third fled. So if those numbers are right, then it's just interesting, and again, it may have been modeled after this parak in Yechezkel so that it's made up, but it's interesting to watch that option of that idea. And then the question becomes, at what point will the Jewish people be able to recognize that it's because of things they're doing wrong and correctly identify what they're doing wrong? It's not enough to say, well, it's because of the things I'm doing wrong. If you pick the wrong set of things that you're doing wrong, then you haven't gotten much further, meaning if you live in Yerushalayim, let's say you're an Oved Avodah Zarah, and then God starts giving you punishments, and a third of the people around you are dying of famine, and a third of the people around you are trying to flee and being killed by the sword, and a third are being sent into exile, and you think, oh, this is because I didn't keep the laws of tefillin well enough. So first person says, I don't know why it's happening, why is God doing this to us? So they clearly can't get anywhere. Second person says, no, it's because we're not keeping the laws of tefillin well enough. So they're also not going to get very, very far. They can keep the laws of tefillin better, but this wasn't because of the laws of tefillin, it was because of the Avodah Zarah, or because of too much on Karbonos. So this is really the dilemma that the Jewish people are facing then, and that I think in many generations have faced since, of even if you recognize something as being punishment from God or reward from God, the next challenge is to properly connect it to what it is that's going wrong. So here, Yechezkel doesn't do a lot of that work for us. It's Hashem, or Hashem doesn't tell Yechezkel to do a lot of work for that, just to tell us that we are abandoning Hashem, and that in abandoning Hashem, we're doing worse than the nations around us. So perhaps for the rest of the book of Yechezkel and certainly other parts of Tanakh, we will build a better understanding of what has been going on for that generation and what the kinds of things that are leading Hashem to be so bothered and so upset about the Jewish people's activities. Have a great day.